If I ever find anything better than talking about Jesus, then that's what I'm going to do. But in my heart, knowing that there is nothing better, that means that I'll be talking about Jesus throughout eternity. I want to say that we're glad to have you here tonight. Appreciate every one of you coming out to visit with us. All of you that come to be here with us night after night. You know, God is doing such a marvelous thing. It is so unbelievably marvelous and outstanding until it is difficult for me to find words of expression, the vocabulary expression of human being. It's not adequate for the purpose when it comes to telling the glory of God. The half has never yet been told. I see the wonderful things of Christ. I see the magnificence of God and the revelation of our Lord and Savior. And I feel it like a fire shut up in my bones, burning day and night. And I feel so clean on the inside and so pure on the inside. And it really sets me on fire the more to preach the Word of God. I'm so thankful for His wonderful, wonderful will and way. In 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me, beginning at the first verse. Let's just read along together. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord was upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because His mercy endureth forever. When David praised, by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offering and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now, mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do accordingly to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to every one that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. I say this so often, as you know, coming to the sacred desk, as a rule for many years, I never prepare a text. I never take a scripture and mark it. I never know where I'm going to turn in my Bible until I step up here. As I said, the reason is because I found out the best way that I can work with the Spirit is to do it that way, because He is that real in my life. Others may not can do it that way. They may have to do it a different way. But it has been my way to do it, and it has been God's way to meet me on these conditions. Today, I made mention to Sister Betty concerning the scripture that I read to you tonight. In the 2 Chronicles 7th chapter, in the 14th verse, this is the verse that they are basing the meeting in Washington on. The meeting tomorrow is based upon this scripture. This is the one that they've highlighted. This is the one that they've spoken of. And I came here tonight, and this is what the Lord gave me. Because He is here at Bethlehem, He is in our heart, He is moving by His Spirit, doing His thing in the earth, as we say. Therefore, He is coordinating in every way those that are following Him. So you see, there is really something here. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. You know, when Jimmy Carter, our president, came to office, God had spoke this to Jimmy. Jimmy had been praying, asking God to put him into the presidency. God did it. God heard his prayer. God raised him up, and I say again, it was good that he did put a believer in office at the time of the Jim Jones thing, like Esther down there when she saved the Jews, when she went up into the kingdom, become the queen. Had it not been that way, it would have been a bad time had we not had a believer up there. I do not believe that Jimmy is a Christian, but I do believe that he is a believer. Now, God gave him this scripture. The celebrities, the dignitaries of Washington talked him out of it. They forced him into a corner. And they told him, they said, Jimmy, if you do this, if you quote the scripture to the people, they will take the idea that you're lifted up and that you are more holy than they and that you're calling them wicked. So he let them talk him out of it. Now Jimmy has gone through his great administration. He is at the terminal point in that there is an election coming up. Right at this moment, he has done something that apparently could cause everything to blow up in his face. Congress is upset at him. All of the people practically are upset at him. And yet God has turned him all the way around. And he is to be the chief speaker of the gathering of from 1 million to 3 million people in Washington. And the theme of the meeting is, if my people that are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways. Now, don't you know that Jimmy Carter is a broken-hearted man? To know that he's going to stand before 1 million people, and the same God that put him in office, told him to say this, had brought him to a shame and brought him to the end of his administration, and he's got to stand there and face the very thing that God told him to do and see it triumphantly, victoriously rise up in its height and in its glory with God's people while he himself is put to shame. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That shows you that there is a God. See, when we get so big and we get so great and we've got so much prestige that we can't tell the banker about holiness and we can't tell the celebrities about God and we can't explain to them about living the way that they ought to live, then God can always bring us down. Can't he do that? He did it to Saul. And so then God is making him turn around and face the entire situation. There on the mall that lays between the Capitol and the great monument of Washington, just exactly the same setting that they had here concerning the temple, here a great sacrifice is fixing to be offered to God. Not of lambs and goats, whereas the Bible teaches that our body should be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, as sheep without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, killed all the day long as sheep. Those people are going there according to their statements, and I have some of the writings in my pocket concerning this, some publications from the paper. They're going there to beg God to forgive them of their sins and to ask God to help them to turn from their wicked ways. Now, isn't that something? God said, Jimmy Carter, you tell the people as a leader to turn from their wicked ways and I'll heal their lands. But Jimmy didn't do it. Now then, God is bringing the people, and they're going to do it anyway, whether Jimmy told them or not, and Jimmy will have to stand at the head of it and acknowledge his wrong and see them do the very thing that God demanded that they do. You know, God's real, isn't it? Isn't he? Here we are tonight preaching the gospel. Here we are. Of all scriptures, for God to give me, the Lord gives me this scripture. Whereas tomorrow, you know that we're going into Washington. You're going into Washington, those that are going with us, to try to do what we can. Not knowing what's going to take place. I don't know what's going to take place in the natural. I know what's taking place in the spirit. We have it on tape. But I know this much, that it is a great memorial moment. It is a great hour of crisis for our nation. It is a great victorious moment for the church if they are willing to really confess their wrongs. If the people will confess their wrongs. I know that Antichrist is on the verge of coming in. And I know that Satan has struck at Jimmy, as I said in the earlier sermons, to put a blot on Jimmy's name, that at the same time that he's going to communicate with children of God, that the church can catch the repercussion, and those people that was killed, we can be blamed for the murder. A cunning trick of Satan. Isn't that right? They'll call it murder. Jimmy will be blamed with it. And because he is associated at this time with the Christians, then it's those Christians, those people that are foolish, those religious fanatics, they're the ones that's to blame for it. And Jimmy Carter is one of their leaders. We reject him as president. You understand what I'm saying? And he fellowships those heretics. The devil is cunning. I suppose that they were considering having the funerals today. Is that right? Or I suppose that they'll have it pretty quick of those that they brought back. Should they come back to the state? That's going to cause a lot of bereavement. Going to cause everything to look bad. And every reproach of it will fall on the church. You wait and see. That's why Satan did what he did with Jim Jones. But you know, there's one thing about it. It's like the writer said, this great anvil has worn out many a hammer. Isn't that right? They may beat on it all they want to, but the great anvil is still standing today, regardless to the blows that's come down upon it. Hallelujah. And it'll wear out some more hammers before the thing's over. So then, like when the queen sent the warning and told the prophet what she would do, he said, just be it known unto you one thing. The great anvil has worn out many a hammer. And so then they can beat on it. They can do what they want to. But God has some real blood-bought saints of God. Some real children of God. Some real Christians that can stand the blows and the impacts and still come back with a testimony for Jesus Christ. So then if they that are called by my name, God is interested in one thing, folks, and that is if we are called by his name, that we turn away from our wicked ways. We are going to have to turn away from our wicked ways. That's one thing that we're going to have to do. There isn't any need of me praying, nor is there any need of you praying, nor 1 million or 3 million people coming together to pray, unless they are determined to forsake their sin. The Bible said, he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins will be blessed of God. But to go and confess their sins, that isn't going to do the job. There may be 1 million people there. They may confess their sins, but that won't do any good. They must confess their sins, and then they've got to turn and forsake their sins if they expect God to bless them and lift their nation back up. It's going to take turning away from sin. It's going to take getting away from the things of the world. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. For all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust or the desire of the flesh. All of that is of the world and not of God. That is not of the spirit, that is of the flesh. And the flesh, the world, the lust thereof passeth away. But the spirit, or he that doeth the will of God, he abideth forever. Isn't that right? So then, if they will forsake their wicked ways. You know, one of the problems is the church has come to the place to where they don't understand what wickedness is anymore. Can you say amen? They have so seared their conscience with a hot iron. They've got past feeling in that they've done so many wicked things, infiltrated the church with so much worldliness until they can't even differentiate between good and evil anymore. Now you say, where do you see this in the Bible? The Bible teaches that when they return in that day when I bring them again, he said, in that day, they'll be able to discern between good and evil. They'll be able to tell the difference. So then, the church world today has all kind of wicked images in it. All kind of evil powers in it. All kind of wretched things in it. And if I called over some of the idols by name, some of you people, the first thing you do, you think, my, Brother Pike is a fanatic. Why, I thought he had more intelligence than to think like that. But I'm going to do it anyway. There's a little idol called a football. Somebody say, I love Jesus. It's got into the church. There's another idol called a basketball. It's got into the church. You love the Lord? A little jogging, a little jumping, a little running, a little racing. All of these things. What are they? They're idolatry acts that's come from the flesh. Evil conceptions that Satan has brought about. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that you think it's wrong to play with a football? Not for little folks. I think it's all right if they want to get out and kick a ball around, roll a ball around. But when grown men and grown women start playing with footballs and basketballs, I think something needs to be done. God especially don't want it in the church. Now, if you want to be in the world, that's all right for the world. The land of Esau, that's given to them to do those things. But brothers and sisters, that God has no place for things like that in the house of God or in the church. God never told you to do any such foolishness as that. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, you're off of your text. No, I'm preaching on, if they that are called by my name shall forsake their wicked ways. I'm talking about the wicked ways of playing football. Somebody said, well, now, Brother Pike, why I don't see anything wrong about that. They have such a glorious time doing that. They sure do. They break each other's neck. They kill each other. I had a friend, he got his collarbone broke. They are mangled up for life. They have such a wonderful time. Brute beasts made to get out there and bust each other's brains out. Wallow around in the mud like a bunch of hogs. Somebody say amen. And then what about basketball? Why, surely you know there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing brutal about that. Oh, yeah, they get all broke up with that too. And then besides that, they have to strip off nude to do that because, you know, basketball really isn't exciting enough. Everybody's got to get nude to hold the attention of the crowd. And somebody's got to get on the side, you know, with a rah, 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 and they have to be half nude too. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now, can't you just picture Jesus approving something like that in the day of judgment and praising the church for praying that God would let their team win? Don't you know he's going to turn them people into hell? It's just exactly like I saw it in the vision. It's wickedness. And it's idolatry. And it's got into the church. It's worldliness. And God said, get it out of the church. God doesn't want it, friend. He has no part in those kind of things. God doesn't want us to have any part in those idolatries. Now, that's why I say when they go up there to confess their sins, There's going to be multiplied people up there, many thousands of people, and they're going to confess their sins. But are they really going to confess their wickedness? Are they? You say, well, Brother Pike, they'll confess those bad things. You mean what, like murder? I sure hope that the people that are in the church up there ain't been killing folks. I'm afraid they have spiritually. All the murderer is going to confess. You know, them harsh things that God's angry with. Oh, let's don't be foolish now. Well, all the robbers. Well, they got them behind bars, or a lot of them anyway. Usually you don't find them in church unless it's God robbers. Somebody say amen. So then what are we going to confess when we get up there? You know, it would take us a while to sit down and figure out what we got to confess. Isn't that right? Come on now. I'm sure that every church would feel like they didn't have nothing to confess. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm sure that all of those people will say, Father, forgive me of my sin. Brother, that's not good enough. What we need to know is that we need to know what we're asking God to forgive us of. You know, we stand up here, and like the man that went up to the temple to pray and say, thank God I didn't do anything wrong. I'm a church member. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. What we need to do is have some preachers that'll tell them what sin is. And then they'll know how to confess their sins and ask God's forgiveness. They need to get away from idolatry. I ask you again, is the field of entertainment for the world or is it for the church? Sports and all of these kind of things and car races. Is that for the church? Is that for the world? If it's for the church, then what does the world have? If all that belongs to the church, then pray tell me, what does the world have to offer? Come on now. I said, if every bit of that God has given it to the church and it belongs to the church, what does the world have to offer? It looks like the world's bankrupt. They don't have anything left. The church has took it all. Isn't that right? Am I saying right? Am I saying wrong? All right. If that belongs to the church, then what good is the world out there? Well, you say it's no good anyway, Brother Pike. That's what we're trying to do, is take the world. Well, what does the song mean when it says take the whole world and give me Jesus? What was the writer trying to get at? We've got the cart ahead of the horse or something. What does the Bible mean when it says that the love of the world's in you? Are those things the love of God? Do you find the prophets doing those things? Do you find the preachers of God doing those things? Do you find in the Bible, in the early church, do you find them doing those things? You know you don't find them doing those things, brothers and sisters. God hasn't made any such allowance for any such foolishness. You know where it come in? I remember when it came into the church. They said we've got to take and put a pool room down in the basement of the church. But why did they want to do that? I wondered when they did it. I remembered when they started doing that. Why did they do that? They said, well, if we don't, the world's going to get our children. So then, we're not going to let our children go out there and take poison. What are we going to do? Well, they'll do them like Jim Jones did, take them and poison them with the sieve. Ain't it a shame they rose up against Jim Jones and acted like they did because somebody took some natural lives when hundreds of thousands of those people have killed and killed and killed again. Spiritually kill people, not only taking their natural lives, it's just for a few years, but literally kill their souls. It's because he wanted fame and popularity. It's because he wanted money. It's because he wanted prestige. It's because he didn't come from God. It's because he wasn't raised up of Christ out of the Spirit. He was hatched out of some seminary or some great get together or some ecclesiastical body and group of people. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me you don't believe that you ought to go anywhere to study the Word of God? The Bible teaches that Paul taught at a school over there for quite a long while. Anywhere they talk about God, it doesn't matter if it's in college, a school, or if it's in the mansion of the White House. It's all good, my brother. But anywhere they talk about rock and roll and the filth of the world and sports, you need to get out of that. That belongs to the world and not to the church. God doesn't want us taking any part of it. You know that two can't walk together lest they be agreed. Isn't that right? That is what has happened to the church. The church has agreed with the world, and the world has agreed with the church, and they've linked hands together. And the world said, if you'll give me your religion, I'll give you my football team. And you'll have more people in your church. I promise you. And the church said, you'll feel better about playing football if you think God's in the arrangement. So they got together. And you know what God did? He rejected the whole thing. If the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. If my people that are called by my name shall confess their sins, call upon heaven, forsake their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their lands. No, brother, that's what I want to see God do. You say, Brother Pike, tomorrow, do you really believe that God is going to hear those prayers? I definitely believe that there'll be sincere God people that will be there. Though I believe there'll be hippies and all kind of blind, wretched, miserable people, as the Bible calls them, they'll be there. Having a name, a church name that they live, but they're dead in the sight of God. Twice dead and plucked up by the roots. But I believe there'll be some there that will be calling on the name of Jesus. I believe that God will hear them and God will heal the nation. You say, then, Brother Pike, you believe that God's going to reinstate the government and the government's going to go on and we're going to have a good nation? I definitely do not. I believe the government is at an end. I believe the world is at an end. I believe God is going to overthrow the American government and every other government in the world. And the Bible said the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom. And they shall possess it forever and ever in the kingdoms of this world. Not just the kingdoms of heaven, but the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God. That Satan, though he wear out the saints, yet the saints shall rise and take the kingdom. This is the hour for it. You say, then you don't believe that God's going to spare the nation. I believe that God will spare the nation, this nation. I believe that God will hear their prayers, that God will heal the nation. That God will bring in 7 years of bad government and tribulation, turn the Antichrist loose, let him make havoc of all of these people that have mixed error and took the spirit of error into the church and mixed it with the church. God will bring the wrath upon them. But I believe, brothers and sisters in Christ, that God will hear your prayer and my prayer and their prayer. And he will just ride over that 7 years of bad government. And he will set up the nation. He will heal their nation like he promised. He will bring in the millennium government and give them the right kind of government. And the nation will continue on in the great millennium rest of God. But so far as America is concerned, she's reached her end. She's gone. The pride of the nation is gone. Oh, I'm so glad I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I belong to God. Every time I think about the wonderful things of Jesus, I'm so glad that I'm a Christian. I'm so glad that I haven't been playing games. You know, we've got a clipping or two in the pocket of the coat here. Brother Gary gave us one just before we came in. The World News, I believe it is. A little article in there that states that Jimmy is at the end. Maybe toward the end here, Brother Taylor can read that to you. If he can locate those things, Gary has them underlined. If he'll look in my coat there, as he's doing now, then he can take those things out. And they're underlined, and he can read them to you. But you know, even the world round about, they know that the church isn't doing right. Why, they know that. Friend, they know that. Though the world wants to get in with the church and the church with them, yet you know that it's one thing. Delilah has cut off the locks of Samson. The world has taken away the glory of the church, the strength of the church. You know the hair represents the glory and the strength. You know that it's cut off, isn't that right? The church is in bondage. The church is bound. Her glory has been taken away. Adam, where art thou? In the evening time, they answered back, we were afraid, Lord. But why are you afraid? Because we're naked. But who told thee that thou wast naked? I never put no such thoughts in your mind. Who polluted your mind? Who caused you to think like that? I overshadowed you with the Shekinah. I covered you with my Shekinah presence. No condemnation. Why art thou under condemnation? Oh, church of the living God, where is thy God? Where is thy strength? Why are you hiding from God? You understand what I'm saying? So then, Delilah has taken the locks of Samson off. You know, those locks represent the church ages in Revelation. Isn't that right? She has stolen all the beauties and the glories that God has entrusted to the church down through the seven church ages. All of those strengths, all of those secrets, all those beautiful things that should have made the church the strongest thing in all of the world. That should have made it the most glorious, the most powerful. There was Samson that could whip an army by himself. The judge of Israel that could actually destroy an entire army without anybody helping him. Isn't that the way the church is supposed to be? Rise and take the kingdom. But all of those glories that's been entrusted to her, all of those secrets, all of those riches, she went and emptied every bit of it out into the hands of the world. Right here at the last church age of the Laodicean church age, right at the end of the seven church ages, here she's got herself all bound, all in bondage. Isn't it right? What's happened to God, Samson? Delilah's clipped the locks off. Isn't that right? Delilah. You know why? Samson got to lusting. He got his head over in the lap of Delilah. And then he got to wanting to rest a little while. And she got her soothing strokes and her deceitful spirit to weave a web around him. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the world done? Oh, don't be an old phony. Don't be backward. While we can educate you, come on over to our house. While we have cocktail parties and we go swimming and we have basketball and my, the things that we have that you're giving up. Oh, my brother, my sister, what about heaven and the streets of gold and the gates of pearls? What about eternal life? What about the strength of God and the power of God, the power of deliverance? What about the glories of God? What have we done with them? Turn again to be under bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. Instead of having the glories of God and the power of God and the anointing of God and the beautiful things of Christ to create an interest in the church, we've had to get the mayor and the governor and the president and the rock and roll singers. We've had to take, it's sad to have to say this, but some of the so-called gospel singers of today are rotten to the core. They've switched over and seen that they can leech off of God's people, and they've took a few godly words from the Bible, like Satan did when he quoted them to Jesus to try to kill him. And like the Bible said, changing the truth of God into a lie, and they put a rock and roll rhythm behind it and some devilish tune behind it, something to entice them. And they filled home after home after home with it. And they've got the people into the bondage of it. And somebody says, oh, but this is sacred. Oh, how blind can we get, folks? What are we doing? Are we so gluttonous? Are we so hungry? Are we so selfish that we're willing to let Satan come in and take everything that we've got, all that we stand for, and rob us of our children, rob us of our sanity, rob us of our virtues and of a life and every prosperity that God has ever given us? Are we so gluttonous, self-will, willing to think our own thoughts and do our own thing, that we're willing to do those things? May God help us. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm saying that if they that are called by my name, if they will humble themselves, call upon God, forsake their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and heal their lands. God promised he would do it. And this is what I believe. And the Bible said, when they came together in the day of Solomon, all of them begin to confess, all of them begin to pray, and oh, they begin to pray, and they begin to sing unto God. And the Bible said the fire of God came down. Isn't that a wonderful, comforting thought? The Bible tells us that God is the consuming fire. On the day of Pentecost, this fire came down. When they got the house all built, the fire came down. Isn't that right? You say, but was that the temple of Solomon? The Bible said, as it is written, I will return in the last day, saith God, and I will build up the fallen down house of David. Isn't that right? The house of Solomon. You know, the lively stones of God built up into a holy priesthood, a royal people, stone upon stone. Glory to God, built up into that great pyramid toward that cornerstone, Jesus Christ, a stone that the builders have rejected. Like the song we wrote, if they will give to him his place, Christ Jesus will make everything right. Each one believing. Each one believing as I wrote the song. Each one trying to take the leadership. Each one believing that he is the head. But the song stated that if they would give to Christ Jesus his place on the throne, then he would make everything right. We're built up, beloved friend, into this great priesthood, into this great tabernacle, into this great wonderful place for God. Being built up, constantly being built up to come to this place. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? So then we see that God is doing a marvelous thing. The fire came down. It filled the temple. The priests worshiped God. They sang to the Lord. They didn't need the mayor. They didn't need anybody. They had God there. And they worshiped the Lord and they sang to God and everybody got together. It was a great reunion and a great fellowship. They made their sacrifices to God and they praised God. You know that mall between that great, great monument of Washington and that great capital over there? That place is ideal for that, isn't it? Now when they all get out there, if they'll worship God, if they'll sing the praises of God, isn't Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Isn't that right? If they'll lift their hands up to heaven and they'll confess their sins, and not only confess their sins, but if they'll mean business with God, brother, the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom of God, and the kingdoms of this world they shall take also, and they'll receive it to themselves, and taking the kingdom they will possess it forever and forever. Just there in Washington, the great, the most strategic point of the entire world. If they'll just get there and praise God, give their bodies a living sacrifice, go there with prayer and with singing, with worship, go there to love Jesus, confess their sins and get straightened out, will they do it? You know they won't do it. But there's one thing about it, there'll be some of them that will do it. And that's the ones that God is going to weed out. And that those are the ones that God is going to bring into the union of the great brotherhood of the things of God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I was blind, as the song said. I was wretched. But one day God delivered me. And today I'm delivered. Hallelujah. I'm delivered. I'm delivered. I'm delivered. Today I'm delivered. One day he delivered me, and today I'm delivered. And I stand here free, hallelujah, free from the bondage and iniquity of this world and the corruption thereof. Glory to God, because I met him and he met me, and I love him, he loves me, and we relate one to another. Glory to God, I don't need anything that the world's got. Anything that the world's got. You love Jesus? How, when we say world, we're speaking of a system. The Bible teaches that God so loved the world so far as his act of creation, but the system of it he hates. The old world, the days of Noah, it perished. What was it? The system of it. It's going to perish again too, brother. It's at hand right now. That's why the saints are moving. Oh, that makes me feel like shouting. I tell you, this thing is so real to me. You know, Brother Taylor, he gets carried away and he sings, it's real, real, real. Oh, this is real to me. Oh, it's real, real, real. I shout the victory. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So then, we are today at a crisis. Tomorrow denotes a special day. The morrow after the Sabbath, the first day of the week. Tomorrow. You know, we could just go on preaching to you and preaching to you and really get excited over this thing. But tomorrow is a big day. Are we going to win souls? He that winneth souls is wise. Are we going to do something for God? Are we? I want to try to do something for God, don't you? You know, the Lord can take you out anytime. He can take me out anytime. But whether he lets me stay, whether he takes me out, I want to be ready, don't you? I want you to stand with me. There's a lot that I'd like to say tonight. I'm just getting started, but I better let you go. We've got those tracks to get, and if we're going to win souls, that's what it's all about. You know, friend, I respect our great governmental authorities. The Bible teaches that we should be subject to them, subject to the laws of the land. There's no power except it be ordained of God. Whether it be spiritual or whatever, God is he's the one that ordained it. I respect great leaders. I respect great dignitaries. I respect great statesmen. I think it's so wonderful that we've got them. Great men of understanding, wise men in our Congress. Oh, how wonderful it is to have those men and those women of real purity and backbone, men like Washington and Lincoln and some that's gone on and still some that's around today. But you know, I hate foolishness and a bunch of playboys and a bunch of feminist men that ain't got enough backbone to have to even act like they're masculine. And I hate evil with a perfect hatred, the writer said. I hate to see a woman with a cigarette stuck in her mouth and her hair chopped off like somebody's cut it off with a chop axe, when her hair represents the glory of God, running around dressed up like a man with an old spirit like a goat, trying to tell everybody that she's an authority when she needs to be at home bouncing the baby on her knee and guiding the house. You say, where do you get that? The Bible said, I would that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You know, it would be a happy world if they would do that, wouldn't it? If you could go home and there'd be your darling little wife. You know, you'd see a darling little wife sitting over there. Not an old goat sitting over there with her hair chopped off and a cigarette hanging out of her lips and say, where have you been? Stuck in front of a TV or cocktail party or eyes red from whatever. But you know, a wife is beautiful. You know that? You go home and find your little wife and find your darling little children. That's what we need. Oh, I wish men had never put their wives on jobs. Brother, it'd been better if we had drove a T model. I go back further than that. It'd been better if we had drove a two-horse wagon. We did it when I was a boy anyway. If we'd have had a two-horse wagon, and seeing them ladies at home and seeing them children saved and seeing mothers teaching them the right things and daddies like a man that was willing to get out in the fields or wherever and work, and Mike could come together in the evening and sit and talk and just feel strong and healthy and happy. Cancer wasn't raging. Hospitals wasn't full. Didn't hardly have no hospitals. Didn't have no need much for them. You know, wouldn't that be wonderful? You say, Brother Pike, that's a dream world. That can't ever be. But it's going to be. You know, the Bible says concerning Jerusalem that I still will create Jerusalem rejoicing, and her children shall once again run and play in the streets. Hallelujah. Oh, what a day that shall be. Hallelujah. Glory to God when the child shall sit down upon the den of the cockatrice. The lion and the bullock shall eat straw together. Nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Well, it sounds like a dream, but you know, Jesus made it come true. That's all it takes is Jesus. Let's sing a little chorus together. I've still got a wife today. I've still got a lady today. I've never allowed her to go out on the job, take up a job, work out there, and pollute her mind. I've never tried to hook her up to a plow like a horse while I lounged around like a playboy. I went out into the ministry. I said, now you're God. You called me to preach. If you called me to preach, you knew I had a wife when you called me, Lord. You gave her to me. And you said, if you be called with a wife, then don't seek to be loose. And I'm not going to do like some of those other ministers. I'm not going to find me another spiritual wife. Or say, God don't want me to have her because I don't want to take care of her so I can run all over the country. I said, you know that I got a wife. Now then, Lord, I'm expecting you to provide for my wife and little children. And brother, sister, he's done it all the way. All the way. Glory to God, he's provided for her. He's took real good care of her. She hasn't had to get out there. Shame on you when you put your wives out there. Shame on you. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. Reach out and touch my Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, he's passing by this moment, all your needs to supply. Reach out and touch my Lord as he goes by. Don't you love Jesus? Sing one more time. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. While we're singing, I want you to come to the altar tonight for a few minutes. You know, tomorrow numbers of you are going to be out on the road, going up there around millions of people. Anything can happen. I want you to go in faith. I want you to go in prayer. Hallelujah. I want the blessings of God, don't you? Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? I feel the wonderful presence of God tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus wants to meet your needs tonight. Oh, friend, Jesus loves you tonight. He wants to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory tonight. Jesus loves you. You're the apple of his eye tonight. You mean everything to Jesus. You mean everything to Jesus. Hallelujah. You mean everything to Jesus. Just let your faith go out to God tonight. Dare to believe God. Whatever you want, don't worry about whether it's going to be a bad year or a good year. Brother, God said he'd supply all of your needs. It doesn't matter what kind of year it is. God isn't going to supply your needs according to the year, according to the times, according to the crisis. He said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Let's believe God. Hallelujah. When the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness, God met all of their needs. There wasn't anything, any place to get it from. There wasn't any industries. Their wives didn't have to go to work on jobs. There wasn't anything stored up. There wasn't any banks. God met their needs. Would you dare to believe God tonight? Let's lift our hands up and love God as we sing that song. Supply. Oh, reach out and touch my Lord as He goes by. Sing it one more time now. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, let's love Jesus tonight. Let's love Jesus tonight. Let's let God into our heart tonight. Hallelujah. Let God heal you tonight. Let God strengthen you tonight. Let God enrich you tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? And touch the Lord as He goes by. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Glory to God. Can you say glory to God? Can you love Him tonight? Can you praise Him tonight? God is a spirit. God inhabits the praise of His people. Can you love the Lord tonight? Can you love the Lord tonight? Can you invite God into your midst tonight? Hallelujah. And the Bible said the fire came down and the fire filled the temple. Hallelujah. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire tonight. God will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire tonight. God will fill your temple. Hallelujah. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. The wonderful blessings of God will come down. My, what a time you could have tonight in Jesus. Don't you want to love Him? Don't you want to love Him? Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful experience it is with God. All the way rejoicing. All the way rejoicing. Hallelujah. Your needs to supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. They that wait upon my Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Just teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord. Just to wait. Sing it one more time, can you? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk, can never faint. Teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, just to wait. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus, over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit here at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.